Hello, and welcome back to the second half of our episode on AI's implications on legal philosophy. So without further ado, I think we're just going to jump right back into the conversation where we left it.
So in one sense, maybe an AI would be more legitimate in the sense that they're always following precedent. But on the other hand, is there maybe any consequence for legitimacy if there's no human actually making the decisions?
I would say the bigger consequence would be in the long run. What if society changes and the artificial intelligence following the same precedent over and over would not change with society?
That's kind of a little bit the problem with the formalist.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. What about, you know, over 50 or 60 or 70 years, what if big revolutions in society appear? What about women rights? What about immigrants, right? When new problems appear all the time. And also, this is an interesting point because in general, the law is always seen as arriving too late, right? As compared to what actually happens in reality. And this is independently of artificial intelligence or not. The law necessarily is lower than actual changes in society. So in artificial intelligence, based only on precedents, would be even slower, unless, of course, the legislation changes. And this is always a possibility because the artificial intelligence would apply the law. So if the law changes, it's okay. But what about if context changes, but not the law?
Yeah, judges don't decide things in a vacuum, right? They have to consider
exactly.
The effects
on the
societal level. And you know, you have to have a really large environmental awareness of what is the situation.
The idea of having an artificial intelligence which would be completely impermeable to what happens outside seems like a good thing in this sense.
In regards to their impartiality and independence.
But then on the other side, this impermeability would also be with respect to, you know, growing problems in society, the environment, global warming, etc. What if, so for example, big decisions, maybe not revolutionary ones, but some big decisions have appeared in the field of environmental law. What about an artificial intelligence would be completely unaware of the context that we're in, such as, you know, a growing concern for global warming?
But I mean, judges are also more than just like technicians of the law. I mean, they also have some sort of a symbolic value, no?
They do. They do. They definitely do. Even though, I don't know if we can generalize, but you can see today that there is a sort of, so there are both elements, you're right. There is some sort of, ideal image of a judge as being a wise and, you know, impartial, independent person or group of people that would be able to listen and to appreciate personally on a case-by-case
basis.
Can
AI do that? Like, yeah.
So that's one thing. But on the other hand, I also see and hear, and I don't know if you can agree, but a very different direction that is being taken recently, which is an anti-elite and anti-expert position that we see all the time in, you know, social media and a part of public opinion where, you know, being the expert of the law is not necessarily a guarantee of being just. And so I'm not sure if this kind of mistrust, which is very clear towards politicians and, you know, experts in general, I'm not sure that it has arrived to judges yet, but it's possible that it will. As, you know, judges, they could be seen as technocrats and, you know, elitist and totally, abstracted from society. And
but would AI, I mean, I wouldn't. Would AI really solve that critical aspect? I mean, I don't really think so, because, I mean, if you have an increasing level of automation, and you might just, you know, prevents us from seeing the law as like a judgment made kind of by society, but more something that's some result of some incomprehensible equation that, you know, not even the programmers who designed it really understand anymore, and it's kind of this like black box,
mm-mm.
you know, that makes it, it even makes it difficult for, you know, people to kind of reverse engineer those decisions and to test it for accuracy and bias. So who do you think would take responsibility for decisions if they were made by an AI?
Well, that's the other problem. I'm not really sure, or maybe this is wishful thinking, but...
Well, maybe just, do you even need somebody to be responsible for the decisions?
Well, yes, that's for sure. I mean, at some point you need, at least in the organization of powers, and you don't necessarily need an individual to being responsible, and actually usually judges aren't. I mean, you cannot hold a judge individually responsible for a judgment that is reversed in appeal, for example. You don't ask for damages to the judge, you ask for damages to justice, right? To the justice system, to the Minister of Justice, it depends on the country. But so it's not that much of a problem in the sense of the individual judge not being accountable, but of course the system must
mm-hmm.
take accountability. And so at some point that could be achieved either by saying, for example, that as in the case of Estonia, all appeals go to a human judge. That could be a way, you know, because the right to appeal is part of the right to of access to justice in general. So all democratic systems are supposed to have at least one way of appealing a judgment. And so in that case, if you differentiate this is also the reason why you don't appeal to the same judge that gave the very first decision, right? So in that case, the principle of having two different formation, two different judges giving different judgments at different level could be applied also to, well, at least one of the different levels should be human. This might be. But yes, I don't think that it would be possible to extract the factor of accountability entirely. At some point, even in futuristic, you know, form of imaginary world, you would still have, I don't know, part of government who is responsible for judges. I mentioned the Ministry of Justice, which is something that basically all democratic countries have. So at least someone in government that would be responsible in the end. And it could be the service responsible for setting up the AI, for, you know, inputting the algorithm. But at some point, you have to have part of, you know, government in the large sense that has to be accountable.
And it might be worth just briefly mentioning why a robot can't be responsible for their own decisions. And it really connects to this idea of moral agency. Moral agents must be capable of doing two things. They must be able to perceive the morally pertinent consequences of their actions, and they must be able to choose between the relevant courses of action. And an AI judge can't really do... Maybe it can choose, but only because somebody else told it how to choose. And, you know, they can't really reasonably know the consequences of those decisions that they're making. So to use your word, they don't have motivation. In fact, in a way, something can only be moral insofar as we can choose to do something immoral. You know, people are morally good insofar as they have to overcome the urge to do something bad. We can be moral because we are free to choose our own path. A machine that cannot know what pain is, cannot understand what it means to be in prison. We can't hold a machine accountable in the same way we can't hold the winter accountable for our joint pain. To declare a machine responsible means a watered down, anemic understanding of responsibility, which is incompatible with what we otherwise mean by the word, and which we take for granted in a human judge.
Yeah, and I mean, when in a hypothetical world where no one takes responsibility for legal decisions, I mean, it also becomes increasingly hard to understand, like, what exactly is right and wrong, and thus also believe in the in share those like societal values.
So in his book La fin de l'individu, Voyage d'un philosophe au pays de l'intelligence artificielle, Gaspard Koenig studies the meanings and the implications of a shift of a digital shift in law. Philosophically, what remains deep and ingrained in this shift is what he calls the automatization of the respect of law. Because the problem with an AI system, with a digital system in law, would be that there would be no room for interpretation, for exceptions. There would only be a problem-solving approach to something that is so subjective and so deep and so case-by-case. And I mean, if we only have legality and only have yes or no, something that violates or doesn't violate the law, what about the small illegality? What about breaking the law? Would anyone break the law? And what would be the meaning of breaking the law if it would just be a yes or no? I mean, the concept of the rule of law and legality exists in itself only if illegality remains. And the interiorization of the law itself is complicated if there is, and if one does not have the opportunity to ever violate the law. The example Gaspard Koenig gives is enlightening in this respect. He imagines a city where there would be only automated taxis. Well, those automated taxis would be programmed to get from point A to point B in a given time. And then from that would follow an automatization of traffic lights, of other cars. Manual cars would never be allowed anymore. And then people walking could never cross the street when the light is red, even if they have an emergency, even if they're not feeling well. What about an ambulance, he mentions? What about an ambulance running? How would that deviate the traffic, right? Because those, you have, for example, the automated cars do not have room for interpretation, for intuition, for common sense, for reacting to certain unexpected situations. And that creates a problem in a city, but also in the rule of law. How do you consider illegality, small illegality? How do you know when the law is broken? How do you know when to interpret something subjectively?
And also you were talking about the black box. The black box, of course, motivation is today an inherent part of a legal judgment. Why is the solution that is given that one and not another one? And of course, motivation is also used in appeals. You appeal not only the solution, but also the reasoning of the judge. In a world where all decisions are made by artificial intelligence, you don't even need a motivation anymore. It's like that because it's like that. And so it's the end of legal reasoning, and it's the end of contesting legal reasoning, because, you know, usually you don't oppose only the solution, you oppose the way the judge explains how they arrive to a solution. If there is no need for justification because it is like just an immediate response to a problem, well, you don't need motivation, and it's the end of legitimacy of justice.
That's kind of like a very Kafkaesque kind of
situation. That's exactly like that's what I was thinking.
The short story of the trial, you know, is a guy gets woken up out of his bed, gets arrested.
Nobody knows why.
He doesn't know what he did, that no one can really answer.
Exactly. And question. Then he waits at the gates of prison, and then at some point, someone tells him, you never asked to enter, and you were the only one, so now it's good forever, and he dies. Yeah, that's kind of what it would be like, I think, a sort of authoritarian and arbitrary world at the end.
There's also a very interesting question to wonder, is there a problem here with separation of power? Because you have to ask, who is programming the AI?
Yes, well, from the perspective of separation of powers, the problem with justice, the main aspect of justice, would be independence. So this problem could be solved by making sure that those programming artificial intelligence are not in any way under the control of the executive power, for example, of government. So in that sense, if you imagine an independent body or, you know, an independent public service or public institution that would set up the artificial intelligence, I'm not sure it would create a problem of separation of powers. The problem would be, of course, if the administration, for example, is at the origin of those algorithms and inputs, and then you would see a problem of independence from the government and the executive in general.
Well, would it be better to have a company like hired to, you know, that's also pursuing some sort of capitalist interests?
Yeah, that's the other thing. There would necessarily be a company or company
spirit. Be some sort of
because,
government regulation.
Yeah.
Of an AI.
But it's true that one of the other concerns is, of course, and I mentioned it before, startups are developing this. And they're developing it, for now, to sell it to lawyers, which are private actors. But what if all those products are all of a sudden sold to governments and to public administration? Then it's another story. Then do you need, for example, a competition between different companies, or should government choose only one? You cannot have competing algorithms or competing system.
And then it's also, again, the interesting idea of the black box and that nobody really knows what's happening, because then startups also need to keep like algorithms as trade secrets. Like there would be no...
Yeah, absolutely. And also, if you know the French administration a little bit, you can imagine all sort of Kafkaian situations where, what if the company fails? That happens all the time in smaller problems, like, I don't know, elevator. You know, a public administration would give the public market of elevators to one company. Then the company fails. No one can repair the elevators. No one can actually give you the car that works. It happens in my previous university. For 2 years, no elevators because the company that gave us the badges had, you know, failed, didn't exist. And so you have to redo the entire process of giving, you know, all the elevator to another company, which would change them at all, etc. So what do you do if something like that happens?
So do you think the programmers could carry responsibility for the legal decisions?
No, they can only carry responsibility for the technical part, but not for the entire system, not for how it works, and not for the content of the decision. You have to have like a technical responsibility, yes, but in the same sense that you have it, I don't know, the courts and tribunals are places, are buildings that work with, you know, again, budgets and security issues, etc. And there you have private companies that have technical responsibility, but they're never responsible for the actual justice that is rendered in those courtrooms and buildings and stuff.
So maybe to wrap this up, so it really seems like we need somebody to carry responsibility for legal decisions. It's very questionable to what degree or who that would be if we had an AI as a judge. But I mean, yeah, I mean, basically, you know, if somebody's exercising power over somebody else, you know,
yep,
you need somebody to assume responsibility for that. And
yes, I definitely think so. The only thing for now that seems both reasonable and legitimate and actually makes sense with all the principles of constitutionalism would be to use algorithms and artificial intelligence as tools, selected tools to deal with specific problems. For example, the backlog of a specific court, because also the delay and cost, you will discuss that in other episodes about access to justice, but of course, delays in judgments are a real problem in many countries. And so some selected problems could maybe be addressed with some tools, but at the origin of the tools, that must be, you know, someone who uses them, and that someone is definitely human.
So maybe, you know, using an AI as an assistant in decision making,
exactly,
would be
like
maybe the best of both worlds.
Yes, possible.
Yeah. Because I mean, if you have a software that can, you know, tell you, you know, this is the relevant text for a case and allow you to classify it quickly, and kind of tell you what other courts have decided and help you in that decision making, there's no real legal problem there, right?
No. This would be, it's a question of research.
Yeah.
As you know, as you know, students, a lot of those questions in law and otherwise, the question of research, and of course, research takes time, resources. And so if that kind of research can be facilitated by instruments, technology, etc., why not? But they're only tools. They never give the solution.
Then again, we still have to be careful. Like, I was reading one text that was giving a very interesting comparison. When we're using like a GPS to help us go through the city, that's also research. And but at the same time, then like we very quickly become tourists in our own city. We don't really know the reality.
No.
We don't really know the map anymore. So the same way, if we're going to use AI to inform our decisions,
mm-hmm.
we still have to be very careful that we don't get distance from the law itself, and that we continue to be informed about it.
Yeah, and also how it selects the information, of course. But this, I think, are problems that can be more similar and compared to questions that we already have, like assistance to judges already exist. They do select information for the judge, and in the end, no one knows who they are. They're not accountable. There may be, you know, interns that are only there for 6 months, and they still influence the legal research. So I think that those problems that have already been addressed could be used, and, you know, similar kind of solution could be applied.
Maybe just one last question. Are there any limitations from constitutional point of view right now that would prohibit the use of AI judges?
Well, one would be, but it depends where it is used and how the cases or the courts are selected, and it would be the principle of equality in front of the law. Every citizen has the right to be judged equally, and so one should be very careful about, you know, you cannot just distribute some artificial intelligence judges random. It should have to be, like in the Estonian case, a very specific, you know, criteria that would be equal for everyone that is in the same situation. But you cannot just say, I don't know, in Poitiers, justice is artificial intelligence, but in France, no, because in that case you have the problem of equality in front of justice and in front of the law. I mentioned the right to appeal, which I think still means that at least an appeal has to be examined by a different kind of judge. And so not artificial intelligence, but human in this sense. It would not prohibit the use per se, but it was certainly limited to only one level of justice. Those are, I guess, the two principles that I see from a constitutional point of view.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I think
you're
that's
welcome. Thank
on
you.
Our side.
It was very interesting.
Yeah, I'm glad. So, in our next episode, we'll look a little bit more into the predictive justice elements. You see what happens when we can really with 100% certainty predict the outcomes of legal decisions and perhaps even manipulate the human biases that judges have. And so, keep an eye out for that one, and we'll see you next time.